Good morning to each of you, and I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be in the house of worship. It's good to be gathered with other believers. I trust that you have felt God's presence and are feeling inspired already thus far in the service. And I was blessed as we heard in our devotions about faith. What we need, what we put our faith in, is so very important. And then also in the Sunday school lesson is to think of apostasy. And I was pondering on what God would have me to share this morning. And I didn't open my Sunday school quarterly until yesterday morning. I was reading it and was struck by how many similarities there are between what the Sunday school lesson is and also what God would have us to think about here in the next few minutes. So I trust that God's hand is in all this, and that as we open our minds and our hearts, God can minister to us this morning. I'd like to start with a simple drawing on the whiteboard to get our minds on the what God has for us. See if I can draw this in such a way that you can understand what I'm trying to draw. I'll start with that and see if you can guess what it is. Obviously, if I had more color to it, it'd probably be a little easier. What is it? Let's start in the front row of little boys here. What do you think it is? All right. I wondered if that would be one of the answers. I can see why you say that. Someone else want to take a guess? I'll give you a big hint. If you're 15 and a half years old, you better know what the sign is. Well, girls want to try? Maybe you can't see it. All right. I know my drawing is a little bit the way it is. And maybe it's a little bit out of proportion. But I think we'll, some color to it, it would be yellow. All right. Intersection up ahead, crossroads, whatever you want to call it. When I leave my place there in Green Beaver and head south, it's the first road sign I see is one that looks similar to that. My mind has been on traveling. We're, Lord willing, headed south to Mississippi for 3 weeks. Plan to drive, and it's about 14 and a half hours, if all goes well. And I'm sure you understand when you head out on a trip, there are a lot of unknowns. Will you make it? Maybe we don't think about that quite as much as the old people did back when they expected so many flat tires on the journey. We jump in our vehicles and we think that 14, 15 hours later we'll be where we want to be. But will we find our way? Will we rely on our GPS? Sure, we won't get lost. But what will you experience as you journey? Again, maybe we don't give that a whole lot of thought. And in all those comments, there's a point coming through that I want to capitalize on later. We can so quickly just jump in our cars, press the ignition button, head down the road. When you head out on a trip, there's many crossroads, many places where you must decide, do I go left, do I go right, do I go straight ahead? And our form of travel generally what we do is we just listen to that little voice coming off of our dash. In the state of Mississippi, about 4 hours from where we plan to be, there's a little place called Clarksdale. In Clarksdale, Mississippi, there are two roads, Highway 61 and Highway 49. These roads cross in this town. And at this crossroads, you will find a rather strange monument. The main feature of this monument are three giant blue guitars. And there is a story behind this monument. The story goes like this. There was an African American lived in the area. His name was Robert Johnson. And as a young man, he lived on a plantation there in the area. And he had a tremendous desire to become a great blues musician. The story goes that Johnson was instructed, I think this is back in the early 1900s, Johnson was instructed to take his guitar to a crossroad near Dockery Plantation at midnight. And it is thought that this is the crossroads there in Clarksdale, Mississippi. The story is that he went to the crossroads in the dark of midnight, and he was met by a large being, believed to be the devil, who took his guitar and tuned it. The devil played a few songs and then returned the guitar to Johnson, giving him an exceptional ability to play this instrument. But it cost Johnson his soul. At the crossroads that fateful night, Johnson got the desire of his soul. He got the desire. He got what he wanted, to become a famous blues musician. He got what he wanted, but the devil got his soul. And that monument there in Clarksdale, Mississippi, stands as a testament to this story. Now, I cannot validate everything in that story, but I think there's a serious lesson in it. We face many crossroads in our lives. And the question is, who will get our soul? We face many moments of decision. And those moments of decision will chart our future. They will chart the course for our future. We can stand at those points and we can contemplate, which way do we go? Title of the message this morning is At the Crossroads. At the crossroads, so often, the course we start in our life is the very course we follow until we die. And it's very difficult to change course in older years. Not impossible, but very hard. And the longer we stay in a direction of travel, the harder it is to change. And there are many things that influence us when we stand at a crossroads. And I feel keenly that many people are standing at crossroads and many voices are calling to them. And those voices are trying to influence them which road to take. And God help us this morning that we do not sell our soul to the devil for a few years of fame or pleasure. Every one of us, every day, stand at crossroads. We face decisions of which way do I go? And maybe this morning this sounds like more of a message or more we're talking more to the younger generation, because as I said, it's so often the course that we start in life is a course that we follow until we die. There are patterns that we set, and that's true. Maybe it is more in our younger years that this is more important. And I know they face very... Youth, younger people, you face very big decisions. You know, where will I live? Will I marry? Where will I go to church? But yet, I think this morning that this is something that all of us need to be thinking about. Obviously, the biggest question out there is, will I follow Jesus? And then we're faced with another question that follows on the heel of that question is, will I follow Jesus with all my heart, soul, and mind? Or will I just follow Jesus hopefully enough just to get by? I do think that the decisions change as we get older. The dynamics of those decisions change, but yet there's still crossroads that we need to acknowledge and think about. As we get older, I think our crossroads tend to be more issues. The cares of life. What am I going to do about all these things that I'm responsible for? How am I going to relate to these things? And also relationships. I believe that the older generation, they face many crossroads when we come to relationships. How will we relate to this issue? Will you let the cares of life distract you from kingdom work? How will you respond to those critical words that somebody said about you? How will I relate to my family? How will I relate to my responsibilities? All different crossroads that we face in our journey of life. We face many small decisions also. Many things that can seem so insignificant, so small. And I wonder this morning that when Eve was in the garden and she saw the fruit on this tree and she saw the fruit on that tree, did she think, what's the big deal? It's just fruit. Many of the decisions we face are small and seem very insignificant and unimportant. And we often decide what we will do and which way we will go with hardly even a second thought. And sometimes I don't think we even stop and think that we actually made a decision. We just do it. It's an impulse. We might say it this way. We fly through a crossroads without even realizing that there was one there. We hardly even stop. And that's another point that we want to analyze as we think about this. This morning on our way to church, I was coming up the street here, and at the stop sign down here, I hardly even stopped. And my helpmeet that the Lord gave me looked at me a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I didn't come to a complete stop. And that's so often what we do in our life. We just roll through these intersections and we don't realize, now what did I really do there? We must step back and analyze and consider, what is this doing to my life? Where are all these everyday crossroads taking me? And am I really headed in the right direction? Am I really headed in the direction that I want to go? Will I end up where I want to end up? And for the big question, who will get my soul? There's a verse in Jeremiah 6 that I want to just use at this point to take us into the rest of the message. Jeremiah 6:16. It's a verse out of the Old Testament, and we've been in the Old Testament this morning in our Sunday school lesson. And possibly we know that this is a result of what we've been reading in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel came to a crossroads and they took the wrong way, did not stay on the right way. And here we have the words, Jeremiah 6:16, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, I appreciate the New English Translation, which is a newer translation that I feel is very accurate. And they have this verse this way. It says, the Lord said to his people, you are standing at the crossroads, so consider your path. And if you read that in the Hebrew, you would read, stand at the crossroads and look. Then the verse goes on and says, ask where are the old reliable paths are. And in Hebrew, that would say, the path that the Lord set out in ancient times. Ask where the path is that leads to blessing and follow it. Don't we want blessing this morning? Don't we want to go where we know the blessing is? If you do, you will find rest for your souls. Don't we want rest for our souls? However, we will find out that there are other ways that are beckoning, that are calling us, that are attractive, that we want to go. But they said, we will not follow it. Why did they come to that conclusion? Why do we not follow sometimes the way that we know we should go? But yet we don't. Why is it so hard to follow that right path? And maybe sometimes it's because it's the old path. I want something new. I want something more exciting. I'd like to start out this morning with three foundational points about crossroads that are important to remember. And the message is somewhat summed up in these 3 points. And as we look at these 3 points, I would like to look at 3 illustrations of characters in the Bible who validate these points. And the first point I want to make this morning is, especially when we think about crossroads, and the point is this, that not deciding for God is a decision away from God. Not deciding for God is a decision away from God. Let's turn to Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. And I want to read just a couple verses. Acts 24, verse 24. Just breaking into this story here. And this is about the man called Felix. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Not deciding for God is a decision away from God. Felix was at a crossroads. Felix was trembling. Felix was pondering many possibilities. Felix was hearing about righteousness. He was hearing about how to live a right life. Felix was hearing about temperance, what to do in this life. And Felix was hearing about judgment to come. Paul was preaching the gospel to Felix. What an opportunity for Paul. And Felix was hearing the gospel. He was hearing about the faith concerning Christ. So here's what I want us to ponder. It tells us here what Felix did with this. But the question I want to raise for you is, did Felix simply send Paul away, or did Felix actually send God away? Was Felix saying no to the Spirit? Did Felix decide to not listen to Paul anymore? Or did Felix actually decide not to listen to God anymore? It appears that Felix knew which way he should go. It appears that Felix understood which path was the right path. It says he was trembling. Why was he trembling? It also is very obvious that Felix did not want to go there. What was holding him back? I believe Felix chose to turn away from God by not accepting what he was hearing about God. Felix was trying to stay in a safe place. He was trying to stay in that place where he didn't have to make a decision. He didn't want to make a radical choice to accept God. What would have happened to Felix's life if he would have said, "Yes, I believe"? He didn't want to go there. He was just trying to stay away from it. I'm here this morning to tell you that you cannot find a place like that. That place does not exist. There is no road in life that you can take where you will not have to say yes or no to God. And I want to say this next statement very carefully, because I've been pondering it about our decisions. Every decision we make has the potential to lead us closer to or away from God. Is that a correct statement? Every decision we make has the potential to lead us closer to or away from God. What about your breakfast this morning? It's like, does that matter? Maybe that's what Eve thought she was doing in the garden. She was just eating her breakfast. I would say this morning that it's the word potential that ties into that statement. These decisions that we make have the potential to either draw us closer to God or lead us further away. It might seem like such a small thing, and maybe that's what Felix thought there that day. He's like, "Okay, Paul, I heard what you had to say. Now you can go, and I'm going to go on with my life." Felix had heard the gospel, and he needed to make a choice of what he was going to do with this gospel message. Many small decisions might not have a very great impact, if any, on our choices. But I think we need to realize that there is the potential there. Satan can use those to take us away from God. And yet, when we choose what we know is the right thing, even though it seems so small, God will use that too to strengthen us in our relationship. So we need to understand that crossroads, large or small, we need to treat them as a way that's important. And again, not deciding for God is a decision away from God. We can't stay neutral as we live our lives. All right, the second point I want to give you this morning is, what feels attractive to us may be the wrong way. And let's go to Genesis for this one, Genesis 25. Again, I'm just going to read a couple verses in this story, Genesis 25. I think you will recognize this story. Verse 28 says, "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint." And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What feels attractive to me may be the wrong way. Esau was very hungry, but Esau couldn't see any further than his stomach. And today, too often, too many people make decisions in life based on what they want. Not because of what is right, but because of what they find attractive, what appeals to them. Then they try everything they can to support their conclusions. They want to live their life this way, So they tried to figure out how to make that acceptable. Esau was living in the moment. He wanted what felt good now. He was not thinking about where will this path lead me. He wasn't thinking, what do I want for my life? He wasn't considering anything beyond his own wants or desires. All he had on his mind was his grumbling stomach, and he was hungry and he wanted to be fed. And here is the point, is that we need to stop and consider, which way should we go? We need to stop and carefully consider, what is driving my choices? What is making me decide to do what I am doing? It's sure not what Esau was thinking. He wasn't thinking, if I make this decision, what will happen? And as I implied earlier, and I want to highlight this, in this point of what feels attractive to us may be the wrong way, or it might be the wrong thing to do. So often we get on the wrong road because we don't stop and think. We simply don't think. We just act. We don't think. And we don't ask. Maybe we don't know, but we don't ask. And here again, we can think about driving and traveling. We get lost. And we don't want to stop and ask, where am I? What shall I do? Where do I go? So often we get on the wrong road because we don't stop and think. We feel what feels attractive to us. We just go with what feels good. And that's the direction we head. Third one is this morning, you can choose the course, but you cannot choose the consequences. Let's turn over to Judges for this one. Book of Judges, chapter 14. Read a couple verses. You can choose the course, but you cannot choose the consequences. We see that also in the life of Esau. If we read more in his life, we know that story, how that all worked out. You can control the choice, but you cannot control the consequences. Judges 14, verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. You can choose the course, but you cannot choose the consequences. Turn over a couple chapters to chapter 16. Verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines and said, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. We could read more in that story and read more of the consequences that he faced, where they made sport of him. Down in verse 25, call for Samson that he may make a sport. The consequences of the choices that Samson made. Samson, I believe, based on Hebrews 11, he turned from those choices. He's listed there as a man of faith, but yet he still need to suffer the consequences. He never got his sight back. He was always without his eyes. The consequences of the course, the road that he chose to travel, he needed to suffer those consequences. Guess what this morning? It's your life. And this is for all of us. It's your life. You may live your life however you choose. You're free to do whatever you want. You know, there's those around you who will tell you what to do and what not to do. But it's still your choice. You can choose. Now, how does that make you feel? Does that excite you? Or is there this nagging doubt in the back of your mind that is it really that way? Can I really do whatever I want? You can do whatever you want, but you cannot choose the consequences. Samson was trying to travel a road, and that road was called, I want what I want, and I will get what I want. That's the name of the road Samson was trying to travel. We try to travel those roads. Some of those roads might be called, I can do this if I want, and nobody needs to know. That's a pretty popular road to try to travel. Or another road called, surely this is good enough. Or maybe another road called, I can be a Christian this way. The question is, where will those roads lead us? What will be the consequences? What will be the destination at the end of those roads? Again, you can choose the road, but you cannot choose the destination. You cannot choose the consequences. Robert Johnson, the man I referenced in the beginning, the blues musician, history tells us that he died at the young age of 27. A few short years of success and fame and pleasure. It is believed that somebody put poison in his whiskey and he died. And it is also reported one of his friends heard him say near the end when he was passing away, his friend is reported to have heard him say, that what got me messed up, Mama. It's the devil's instrument, just like you said, and I don't want it no more. But it was too late. He chose his course, but he could not control the consequences. So this morning, to wrap this up, what does Jesus say about crossroads? We face many crossroads. What would Jesus tell us? Did Jesus warn us about finding ourselves on the wrong road? Did Jesus implore us to make sure that we are on the right way? Matthew 7, let's go there. As we think about facing crossroads, many directions that we can go. Many ways that are calling for our attention. Many choices that we can make. Jesus is saying the right way must be chosen intentionally. You will not accidentally find your way on the right way. You must deliberately choose the right way and you must intentionally stay on the right way. Verse 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate. This is Matthew 7. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus is saying that many will think they are on the right way and discover too late that they were on the wrong way. Jesus gives us comparison. He wants us to think of two possibilities. Not four possibilities, but two possibilities. He wants us to consider what is right and what is wrong. You cannot have two opposing things and they both be right. You can have two similar things and one be right and one be wrong. In this passage, Jesus shows us two destinations. He shows us two ways, two gates, two fruits, two conditions, either broad or narrow, good or corrupt. And he shows us two groups of people. And again, here's what we must remember. You can pick your path, but you must accept the destination. So this is a choice, again, Jesus is putting in front of us. You can pick your path, but then you must accept where that path will lead you. Or you can pick your destination. You say, I want to end up there. And then you must accept the path that's going to take you to that destination. You know, too many people are focused on that path. It's the here and the now. And they're oblivious to where that path is going to take them. Again, it's your choice which path you take. Jesus is saying there are two gates and there's two ways, but there is only one way to get to the right destination. Jesus is saying both of those ways look very similar. And we must realize this morning the broad way and the narrow way are very close to each other. I wish it was this clear that you go this way or you go that way. And sometimes I fear that's the picture that we have in our mind. That it's the broad way, it's over there. It's where the atheists, the heathen, the murderers, the agnostics, the skeptics, and all those who don't accept Christ, their way over there. But Jesus is saying it's very similar. It's where the people that say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils? Jesus gives us a picture. And what's sobering this morning is it might be very difficult to tell the difference. To a casual observer, it might be hard to tell who's on the broad way and who's on the narrow way. Because the ways can look right, but it's not the right way. It might feel right, but it's not the right way. So the most important question is how do we know? And again, Jesus gives us those answers. If we took the time, if you want to know what is the right way, Jesus has just finished explaining all that to the people. We would start back in the beginning of his message where he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Jesus gives us how to know what is the right way. And we could go into a whole message on that right way. But this morning, I want us to focus on the fact of choosing, knowing we're making that choice to follow in the right way. Jesus does not leave us lost. He does not leave us without the answer. He does not leave us in the dark, but he has come through a whole sermon explaining this is the way. Walk in it. And the question for us this morning is, are we walking in this way? Verse 21. Jesus says, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If you want to stay on the right way this morning, obviously it starts back in chapter 4 where Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then it is in doing the will of the Father. How intent are we to do the will of the Father? The question for us this morning is, will we make it? Will we get lost on our way? Will we take a wrong turn? Will we get distracted? We all need to answer that question. Fathers, mothers, young person, grandparents, Satan wants to get us off the right way. And we will face crossroads. You will face a crossroad today. Maybe it won't be a huge one, but you will face a decision where, what shall I do? And will this impact me spiritually? You will face a crossroads tomorrow, this week. And the question is, where will the road that you are traveling, where will it take you?